have jobs.
We only have 4 days of that, so it's a good thing.
So thanks, everybody. I know it's always a long day for you, lots of classes. So welcome to our section of the professionalism curriculum. For the next few classes, you're going to be hearing topics about jobs and careers and getting you ready for those. So this is just to launch us today, to give you an introduction to the Career Services Office. CSO, Career Services Office.
First term.
All of you have this strange looking bingo card. Has everybody played bingo before?
They may not play bingo before.
So, because this can be extraordinarily boring, since these classes, we thought that we would make it a little more interesting. And the words on your card will either be in the presentation up here, or you'll hear me say them, and probably both. So go ahead and X them, or circle them, or mark them somehow when you see or hear one. And the first person who gets either five across, five down, or five diagonally, yell out bingo, so you have prizes. And we'll see if anybody wins. We have a lot more left over, so if anyone wants to play two, we can do that. All right. So, oh, the other thing for all of you rule followers, the plural of word counts. So if it says resume, you see the word resumes, it counts. Okay, just so we don't have to worry about this. Okay? Like I said, the next four of these classes, you're going to be seeing us. On the original schedule, I believe that our classes are in a slightly different order, but they're all the same content. It was really due to availability of speakers. So next week is going to be the pro bono week and public interest panel. This is in conjunction with actual pro bono week, which is consisting of a lot of the public interest and government organizations that take volunteers will be tabling in the hallway in the middle of the week. So definitely do stop and talk to them. A lot of them are the same people that hire people for the summer. So just because they're calling it pro bono doesn't mean that it isn't related to your summer jobs. They're the same people. We're also going to be hosting them on panel, and they'll be giving you some insights. This is our employer panel, just so you know. So don't think, I'm only not interested in public interest, I don't need to go to that panel. We're probably going to have people from like DAs and U.S. Attorney and things like that people all apply to. So this counts as one of our employers. So we'll have the employers in here next week. We're skipping November 1st to November 8th. I don't know if there's another schedule from Dean Brown or Professor Garbano for November 1st, but as far as we're concerned, we're not doing it November 1st. Do you guys have anything on November 1st that you know? It's what?
I think there was a couple of them that said no session. I think November
1st. November 1st. Yeah. You can recover from Halloween, sleep like whatever. Okay, November 8th and 15th, there are going to be skill building sessions. We're going to go over resumes and cover letters on the first one, and we're going to go over interviewing on the second. They are 2 hours. Usually we do them separately. We do resumes and cover letters separately. We're going to do an hour of resumes, an hour of cover letters. Anybody love writing cover letters? Anybody really good at it? You can teach. Do you want to teach? I have a really, really very simple cover letter formula that we're going to take you through that's going to break you through that blank page that stares at you when you write a cover letter. So that'll be the second half of that one. And we also have some very standardized resume advice. If you are coming from, everybody mostly is coming from a non-law industry, you may have really nice resumes that still don't conform to what lawyers tend to like to see. So it's important to you if you have a wonderful, amazing, great resume to come to the resume session, because the law resumes have quirks to them. And lawyers have quirky ways of looking at information, so we try to bring that out to you. It also is sort of a mini marketing lesson on how to be a student and how to market yourself to employers. So it's not just all about formatting and typing and documents up. So the interview one, we're going to be having an attorney from Rochester come, Dwayne Vasco, who's going to talk about the Rochester diversity hiring program and then also talk to us about how to interview in addition to some of our material. And then we're going to have an interview practice session. We have an exercise for you guys to do to start giving you some hands-on workshop experience with interviewing. So that is our curriculum for the next few weeks. Okay. What is the CSO?
We have a career services office. How many of you visited your career services office in your undergraduate degree once? How many more than once? How many never? Okay. I mean, it doesn't matter. I didn't even know where it was. Okay. So the first thing I want to tell you is, you guys are a very small class. It's, you know, you're manageable. If you came from a really big institution like UB, you're probably used to a career services office that can't possibly know you individually unless you're just beating down their door constantly. Because we, law schools in general are smaller programs, even the largest law schools are pretty small, we are charged with sort of a personal interest in all of you. Both we care what happens to you, and we actually get to know all your names, and we know how you're doing, and we worry about you, and we lose sleep over you. But we also have to track you. So at the end of all this, we have to sort of report to somebody how everybody did. In the meantime, I feel like there's a lot of relationships, a lot of procedures, a lot of job postings, a lot of resources that we have that we try to communicate out to you. And the more of them you have at your fingertips, the more contacts we can put you in touch with, the more databases we can send you to that fit what you're interested in, the more we can help you self-assess and figure out what your career path can be, the better you're going to do. So if you are one of the people who really isn't used to working with a career services office, you're going to be somewhat forced to do that, at least at the beginning, and I encourage you to continue that. We really aren't here just for our own egos. We're here because we care about what happens to you. So we offer you resources. Please take them. For right now, our job is to help you pretty much with your summer job for next year, and we're going to get to that a lot. And we stick with you after you graduate as well. One of us isn't here, so I'm going to take my time with who we are. My name is Lisa Patterson. I'm the Associate Dean for Career Services. You guys met me because I did the How to Work a Room thing during orientation. You remember that? Maybe you repressed it. That was me. How'd that work out, by the way? Anybody introduce themselves to a stranger, a reception, or anything like that? Yeah. All right, great. You guys look really good, by the way. I like that. Everything looks like they're doing a good job. I don't think I told you much about myself, but I've been here for 16 years. Before I was here, I was at Notre Dame for 4 years, and that's where I got my degree as well. What else? I was a Harvard undergrad, for what that's worth. We've just been around the block here. We've seen a lot in 16 years. You'll see that our staff generally has a lot of experience, and we have a lot to bring you. So that's my background. Mark is our employer outreach person and one of our counselors. The reason he's not here is he's actually on the phone with an employer right now, and they're not letting him off the phone. So we'll let him do his job, and when he shows up, he'll wave at you. Mark may be someone that you meet with for counseling, as might be me, and he is also our judicial person. So if you're interested in doing a judicial clerkship or clerking for a judge for the summer, he tends to be the person who keeps track of all the judicial assignments. So definitely take a look at that. Dawn Skipinski is here in the front row. Here's Dawn. Dawn has been with us for 27 years in the law school. She has a degree in psychology, and she is previously 100% of the time with CSO, but now she's split her time with the externship program as well. Does everyone know what an externship is? So it's like an internship you do for credit. So, yes.
Bingo.
How many bingos do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. How many books do we have?
5.
All right, we have any more?
We can order one.
We'll find another piece of swag for the next person.
Save podcast.
All right. Yeah, we'll hold up your hands, and then we'll find a sixth prize for somebody, whoever the sixth one is. So Don Skipinski was your last swear.
Externship.
So Don works on externships. So we'll stop playing out for our questions. Okay. So much for helping me concentrate on the program.
So anything with not-for-profits and government organizations, she's the basic go-to person for the pro bono, and for BPIL. So everybody know what BPIL is? It's public health, public interest law program, student group raises money for fellowships, doctors are advisors. So if you have any questions about BPIL, she's the person as well. This is Mark Davies, we were talking about him behind his back just now. He's on the phone with an employer. Mark is our employer outreach and counselor professional and also our initial person. He has been with us for 8 years. He's been at the law school for 13 years. He's a UB grad from the law school, so he's had a lot of interesting professors. He can commiserate. Like I said, if you're interested in judges, he's your grad as well. Next, we have Lisa Bauer. It wasn't confusing enough. There are two Lisas in our office. So that's Lisa Bauer. Lisa has been here. She's been here 2 years. Before she was at the CSO, she also helped run the externship program as well. And before that, she came from,
She's the most professional of us. She actually has a bio.
Before she was at the law school, she was in private practice. So she started at Poskauer, which is a large New York City firm, and then came back to Buffalo and worked both for Hudson Ross and she has her law degree from Syracuse, but we won't pull that answer. She's very envious of how we are now. But she's also one of our counselors, so you may end up having her as your when you sign up for an appointment. And so that's just about what she's great. And then finally, Arlene Rizzo, in grade 10, just started in our office yesterday. Yay! Welcome. But she has been at the law school for 27 years. So she's been out on the first floor of the Dean Suite. So we're very, very happy to have Arlene. She's going to be the person who greets you at the door when you come to the CSO. She may answer the phone when you call and have questions. And so we're really happy to have her with you as well. So that's us.
All right, so it's October. Okay? And we're talking about summer jobs already.
And that seems a little wacky to most people. Seems a little wacky to me. So let me just tell you a little bit about the timeline. There is a national organization called the National Association for Law Placement, or for Legal Professionals, it's called LOPE. Basically, it is all the law school's career services office, and it's most of the major firms' recruiting offices, and we're all in the same organization together. And we come up with these rules. And one of these rules has to do with when you can talk to the first-year class. So the schools have all gotten together and sort of agreed that none of us are going to get to jump on anybody until October, and we're just going to leave you guys alone. But come October 15th, the floodgates open, we can do whatever we want. In the meantime, the employers, the major employers that are members of this organization have also agreed not to post any jobs until December 1st. Which is still really early, but it's nice to have a rule, just so that they're not too willing to go to the workplace. So the idea is that we have a month and a half to get you ready to apply for anything that's posted on December 1st, and then off we go. So that's where this sort of early timing comes from. Now, will everybody apply for a job on December 1st and get their summer squared away before exams? No. There's actually very few jobs that you have to apply to on December 1st. But the rule is there, and we also don't want any other schools getting a jump on you by being later. So we're just in line with everybody else. We're going to talk about timing. Most of your summer job search will probably be January or after, but there will be some notable exceptions in December that you're going to want to pay attention to.
Just a few terms.
This is supposed to be here for me. Internships, okay? We're going to talk a lot about internships. Basically, the way I think of an internship is that it's an unpaid, some people call them paid internships. I think of internships as unpaid jobs with
pretty much anywhere,
but they're usually relevant to law. Externships are kind of the same jobs that you get credit for them. But you will register for those through the registration process as though they were a class. And you get a certain number of credits. And if you do it during the semester, it reduces the number of other classes that you have to take to meet your total. And those are the things that John Kaczynski works on. Those are also arranged by the school. In other words, we have a relationship with all of those places, and you sign up. You apply for them through us.
That's why it says arranged in advance.
The clinic, and externships and clinics are things you're going to do at least starting next year, or some of them will be over the summer. But not all of your schedules are set for now until next spring. Clinics are almost like mini law firms that sit in the building up on the fifth floor of the clinic office. They bring their clients to them. They are actually the provider of the services. So you're not going off-site to go to another agency and sit and do the work. You're actually doing the work through the in-house clinic. And there's a number of them that do different types of things. Law clerk is kind of a sweeping term. If you work for a firm, you work for a corporation. A lot of times they'll just say, we want to hire law clerks. It just means they want a student to work for them. A lot of times it also means that they pay. These are very squishy. Some people get really caught up in so the difference between an intern and a law firm. Sometimes people just use them interchangeably, but it's just so you know what we're talking about. Sometimes firms also use the term summer associate. That's kind of fancy. So I just hated deadlines. Starting in October, we're starting to give you some workshops and getting your application material ready. So we have this. We're going to have a panel for the second half, so some students are going to start telling you about how they found their jobs. You'll hear more about what their timelines were. And this is to get you thinking, planning, figuring out what to do next. The other thing is we are going to have you start meeting with us one-on-one. One of the things that we do is that we require the first years to meet with at least one of us one time, earlier rather than later, usually between now and January. So you will be getting a password for our software program called Simplicity that has all of our stuff in it, and you'll be able to make appointments through that. So that's going to start pretty much any time now. Okay, workshops and reservation cover letters, December 1st. So that is the first day that anything possibly could be due. You will find that really large terms are due on December 1st, and really big government agencies might be due that early. There may be other things, like I know the local U.S. Attorney's offices in Buffalo and Rochester tend to be due sometime in December, usually towards the end of December, but most things are not super, super early in December. I'll say something about big firms. Because you can apply for almost any bank firm in the world on December 1st, and they'll take your resume. And I just have a cautionary statement about that. And that is, how many people here really want to work for a really big firm? Anybody? If you think that's what you want to do, there's a strategy to that. And those of you who don't think you want to do that, this might still be pertinent to you someday, you might change your mind. So, let me take you through the reasoning. What's happening on December 1st? Around that time frame. What are you thinking about?
Finals.
Finals, right? So do you really want me to tell you to start thinking about putting your resume out to a bunch of firms right before while you're studying for finals? You don't really want to be distracted by that. So that's one thing. Second thing, not a lot of the big firms hire one else anyway. They have this rule which makes it seem like they do. But if they have 100 summers, they hire 2 1-offs. And they're usually somebody's niece or nephew, right? Or some client's kid or something. So very rarely do 1-offs need to get into these positions. And so it kind of becomes not a very good cost-benefit analysis when you think it's distracting me from studying for finals and not many of them are hiring. And the third part of the reasoning is when they do go to hire you next year, which is kind of the big year, what are they going to be looking at first? Your grades. So, if you're going to sabotage your grades to apply to jobs that don't exist this year, you won't get them next year. Okay? So, not to say don't worry about them on December 1st, but I would be choosy and I would be very, very wise about how you time it and what you do. When you meet with one of us, if that you think you want to do that, I would highly encourage you to bring that up in your meeting so that we can help you strategize. You might be able to whittle it down to a very short list. of more higher probability jobs if you want to do that.
Okay. So, winter break over January and into February is where a lot of the big job activity happens.
A lot of things are posted then. A lot of people's applications are ready to go then, and you see a lot of applications happening.
I didn't have that. No. What we hope for by the end of this semester, really, is to have your application materials ready.
Like I said, if there's something really early you want to apply for, you can help me rush through that.
But by the time you get to the end of the semester, you want to have a resume that's viable. You want to have a couple of cover letters that you drafted, even if you didn't apply for anything, just draft one. You want to learn how to get your possible transcript off the hub and upload it, even if you don't have grades yet. You also want to start thinking about your writing sample, which you may or may not have finished writing yet, but it's probably going to be your lawyer's memo. So, you also want to be thinking about who your references are going to be. You don't need letters from them, but you will want to get their permission to put them on a list of references, just in case one of your employers wants it. So, that's really your goal for this semester.
Spring, we're going to have another series of events in the spring like this that are more geared towards how to perform on the job and do a really good job when you get there. You're going to continue to apply for jobs into February, possibly even March and later. There is a career fair on February 8th that is a collaboration between the CSO, the SBA, and ECO. And it has both public interest and private sector firm and corporate jobs. Employers there, so that's definitely something not to miss. In March, if any of you are applying for not-for-profit jobs and you want to apply for a fellowship to pay for those through BPILP or other sources, March is when that happens. April and May. I don't like to tell you this early, but we actually still do get postings from employers in April and May. So just file that away. I would encourage you to apply for things early that you see, but a lot of things do come in all throughout the semester as well. So you want to be ready, and you want to be agile in terms of what you're applying for. By May, we're also going to be talking about next summer, the 2018 summer, which is ridiculous. But we're going to be taking resumes from you for those jobs starting in the end of June of next year. For the year after. So we will be starting to prep you for that already. Don't be too surprised by that. It sounds, like I said, it's ridiculous that it's that early, but that's just what the timing is for those firms. So that's what we'll be doing at the end of the semester. Okay? Things that you're going to do throughout all of this is continuing to connect with alumni and networking, going to events. We can set up mock interviews for you if you know you have an interview coming up. We can either do one with you ourselves and sort of prep you. I think of that more as a prep. And then we can also set you up with alums who will really do, you know, a full-on, put on a suit and be scary in their office kind of interview. We have a lot of self-assessment tools as well at our disposal. If you are interested in figuring out so what you should be doing, what's your personality like, what do I need to work on, what types of people do I like to work with, we have a ton of those, so do ask for those. And then certainly always be researching what you want to do. So some of you may never have heard of employee benefits law or workers' comp or something like that. Keep your mind open. Keep gathering information. When you hear people talk about what they do, constantly be researching what's out there because you may be perfect for something that you've never heard of. So that's where the research comes in, and research takes many forms. It's not just 2 hours of Googling. It can be going to an event, but paying attention to what people are saying. This is all very general, but it will come into focus for each of you individually.
I want to give you a quick overview of some of the actual resources we have online to help you with some of the research and some of these things that I'm talking about. Does anybody have any questions while I'm pulling this up? Yeah.
So do you reference those to start thinking about exactly that?
That's a good question. For those of you who didn't hear, who are the three references? Usually it's good to have a mix of a previous professor, a current professor, and maybe an employer. Depending on your background, that could vary. but that's the general standard. So if you have two employers and a professor, that's fine. You just got here, so if you have two professors from another school and it takes a while to cultivate a relationship here, that's something to think about. But you, while you're here, you do probably want to find at least one professor, if not several, who get to know you fairly well, because it's just nice. It's nice to have that reference if you need it. Any other questions? All right. So, how many of you have been on the law school website since you applied? Good. Awesome. There's a lot of good resources on here. Most of the time it has to do with registering. But some people don't realize that we have a career section on here. So, when you go, I just clicked on the current students tab to get here. First of all, you're going to get a login this week to Simplicity, which is our online database. It has our job postings in it. It is a way for you to make appointments with us. We put announcements and workshops in there, and we have documents in there. The link to that is right here on the current students side. So if you're checking in SIP, looking for announcements, and then here's the button for Simplicity as well. We have our own Simplicity URL, so you want to make sure that you're always clicking through there instead of trying to Google it. And I'm going to show you the inside of that in a minute. But there's a career and professional guidance. So this is our career services section. And there's just a few things in here I wanted to show you. Most of our resources aren't out in the world, but these are a few that you can access pretty quickly. And one of them is the CSO to go section right here. We recognize that it's very difficult to get everybody information all at the same time, and that people's schedules are really busy and really fluid. So we try to make as much of our information accessible 24/7 or in different formats as possible. And so the way that we do that is that we have three formats. One is on demand. And by on demand, we mean that if you're looking for sample resumes, if you're looking for the slides to our cover letter presentation or to our networking program, they're here if you want to review them. Now, these are the PDFs, they're PowerPoint. So they're not the same as sitting in the room, but they have a lot of information in them. So this is a place where you can get those anytime you want. We have something also called On the Run, and that is really a link to our podcast series. And our podcast series is literally programs that we've put on that we've audio taped. So this will be in there, for example. It is something that you can go back to and listen to from years past. How to interview, for example, is something that we did before the big interview season for second years. And it has a couple of large firm partners from New York City and Buffalo. If you wanted to listen to that at any time because you're curious to see what they had to say about how to interview, you can access that from here. And we have a whole page of those. It's set up like a blog, so you can scroll through dates. It goes way back. This was a great program that Lisa Bauer put on, Survive and Thrive, on how to really rock your summer and really impress people when you get there. So you can listen to these at any time. We call it On the Run because you might want to sort of go for a walk or go to the gym and listen to it.
The book that you guys won was from Survive and Thrive, so if you were lucky enough to win bingo super quickly, you got the book from it. We'll put it on next year, maybe we'll have some more books.
Yeah. Everybody who went to that program got that book too, so that was good. Finally, we have a buy request. And this is kind of in the manner of kind of being like Netflix. In other words, if you wanted a program and you wanted to know about something, but you didn't see it scheduled for a while or you couldn't make it and you wanted to sign up, you can go to this page and request that we come do a workshop for you. Sometimes student groups like to do this because it gives them an event. But if you even have a study group or a bunch of friends that think, oh, you know what, I would love to know more about networking, or we're all doing a long-distance job search, maybe someone could come talk to us about that, we can do that. So you just tell us when you want to do it, which one you want, you click on it, and you click submit, and we get an email, and it asks us to set that up for you. So we like to be as flexible as we can. You're not limited to this format. If you want to talk about those topics in our one-on-one sessions, that's fine too. But if you were looking for an event, that's your way to sign up for that. Okay. Any questions so far? Okay. Let's see. Actually, one other thing I wanted to show you before I leave the website is that we have something called a LibGuide. These are just descriptions of the things I already talked about. But we have something called the Career Services Office Resources. And if anybody ever sits and stares at the TVs out in the hallway, there's a list of topics that the CSO library has in it. That's what this is. This is actually called, it's technically called a LibGuide, but it's something that the library houses for us. And it has almost, probably about 200 pages worth of material in it if you were to print it out like a booklet. And if you were looking for any kind of information on areas of practice, job books, let's say environmental, we have the call numbers for books that are in the libraries, call numbers for books we have in our office, websites. We have links to professional organizations you might want to join. We have tip sheets and articles. We have some videos. We have another set of our sample resumes in there. So if there's something you want to know about or you just think, you know what, I just don't know what I'm doing with my life, where can I read about some stuff, that's a really good place to go. It's really taken a lot of time to pull that together. And so get some TED Talks in there that are relevant. So that's really neat. So I'm going to show you the inside of Simplicity next, just so you know what to look forward to. Ha ha ha. So I'm going to say one thing to you, and that is that Simplicity is the worst named piece of software in history. And by that I mean that it is not simple. Okay. We're going to look at Ivana Jobs' profile here. So when you log into Simplicity, which you will this week, you're going to get a password. Watch for an email that's from SYMPLI, whatever, city. It's not going to come from me, and it's not going to come from CSO. It's going to come from Simplicity. So don't delete it because you think it's spam. And it will give you your login, and it will give you the direct URL to the system. There are a lot of schools that use this software, and we all have our own unique URL. So if you forget ours and you try to Google it, chances are you're going to end up on somebody else's one and it won't let you log in. It'll tell you it doesn't recognize you. So always either go from the law school website or keep a bookmark or favorite to our site so that you get to the right place. Your login will always be your email address. So you will be able to change that if you want in your profile. But that's always going to be the same. Okay? So, there are a few things that we use Simplicity for. One is that it's a document cloud. By that I mean that it's a repository for you to upload your application materials. And it's also a place where we can access them to see them. So, if you were to send me a resume and say, hey, could you look at my resume? Another way that you could do it is upload it to Simplicity and tell me, I uploaded my resume to Simplicity. This is what it's called. Can you take a look at it for me? So we can both access it from both sides. The other thing that we do with this is that we actually, the first time you upload a resume, it has to be approved, meaning that one of us has to look at it and just make sure it looks okay before you can use it for anything. So that's another thing that this does, is it flags that. So there'll be seasons where everyone's uploading at once and we're sort of scrambling to look at everybody's resumes. And so that's just to make sure that nothing slips through that's really, really off the radar for employers. Once you've done it once, you never have to be approved again, but you will have to do it the first time. So just bear that in mind. You can see that Ivana here has a cover letter. She has a bunch of cover letters. She has her references. She has a transcript. She has a writing sample. I'm not going to get too much into the weeds on how to do everything because you don't have a login yet and you'll probably forget. But basically, you're going to click Add New. And you're going to click, you know, what kind of document it is, because it'll put it in a category for you, and then surf to it. You've all uploaded documents before, you know how that works. Surf to the file, upload it, and go. If you have any problems, we're going to have other workshops. You can always let us know. There are some sticky things, like you can see the maximum file size is 500 kilobytes. So if you do an image scan, sometimes that's too big. Or if there's, for some reason, graphics in your documents, sometimes it kicks it over the limit. So, but that's pretty much the only problem you should have with your documents. What this will do, if you have your documents in there, this is also where you apply for a lot of your jobs. So we post something like 1,500 jobs a year in here. This is our way to get them to you. So jobs come into us, you know, Mark or Lisa or Don are talking to an employer. They say, hey, we've got a job. We don't email everybody every single job. We put it in here and we make it searchable to you. This is our bulletin board. Back in the day, it used to be a binder, right, with jobs in it. So a couple things about this. First of all, it's under jobs and resume collection right here. It's the first thing right here, CSO jobs. We have other links that I'll show you in a minute, but that's how you get there. Two things. One, we let you see all the jobs. So you can see the Associate General Counsel. Does anyone here feel like you're qualified to be an Associate General Counsel yet? All right. It's because you're not. But we let you see them all because I think there's, first of all, there's an educational component to being able to read those job descriptions. If that looks like a cool job to you, it's helpful to know what the requirements are that they're looking for so you can work towards that. Secondly, for a more immediate strategy, sometimes you'll see jobs for firms that are looking for an associate, and sometimes you can say to yourself, they're down an associate. I wonder if they're really busy and they could use an intern. Maybe I'll just use the contact information or the idea that I got from this job, this firm posting, and reach out to them and see if they take a student too. So you can use these jobs creatively and educationally, and that's why we don't hide any of them from you. That's not to say we expect you to apply to every single one in here. So there are ways to filter them out. If you're actually just going to sit down and look for something to apply for, you can click on the 1L limit and click search. And now it's limited to just stuff that applies to 1L. Because it is before the December 1st opening date, if you were to log in today, which we've just done, you may not see a ton that, or anything really, that looks like you really need to apply anytime soon. That's all going to be coming up in the future. And what you do see in here sometimes is kind of immediate. So this one firm is probably looking for someone right now, as opposed to next summer. But that's how you limit that. And that's what they look like. Okay. When you get into a posting, this is what it looks like. And I just want to show you this because, see this apply button? Okay. When you click on apply, it already preloads your documents. So it has a pull-down list of your resumes. If you have four different resumes and you've labeled them, you can pick which one you want on there. Same thing with your cover letters. That's why you have to click that little button because it puts it in the right category. If you do not have anything uploaded yet, there will be no apply button. And all it'll say is you have no resumes on file. So if you're searching for jobs and you're going, I can't figure out how to apply to this thing, there's no button, there's no information, it's probably because it's waiting for you to upload your documents first. So that's just what I'm demonstrating with that. But this is what your typical posting looks like. A lot of times there's just a little bit of information. And we're going to go through our cover letter and resume sessions and our interviewing sessions, a lot of detail on how to market, how to construct your argument to these firms on why they should hire you, on how to write the cover letter that's going to get you in, how to make a resume look like they want it to look. But this is the end result of that, is sort of sending all those documents off to something that looks like this. So. The other thing that we use Simplicity for is to make appointments. And you can pretty much do this the minute you get your password. So go to the calendar tab, and it pops right up here. You don't have to do anything else. Request an appointment. And if you just leave it open, it'll tell you everybody's availability, and you can just pick something. Or you can pick a limiter, like certain days or one of us, but this will give you everything. And all you do is you select, say we want to meet with Mark Davies for not 15 minutes, he's worth more than that. How about 30 minutes? We're going to do 1L one-on-one. If we submit that request, it goes immediately on Mark's calendar. You don't have to get permission. He doesn't have to say yes, that's fine. It's automatic. You know that you have that time. And it's really easy. And especially if it's after hours or on the weekend, you think, darn it, I meant to make that appointment. You don't have to wait for one of us to go back and forth. What time are you available? I can't do it then. How about Tuesday? None of that. It's just bam, 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 got an appointment really quick. Easier for everybody. You can do it as many times as you want. We don't really care how many times you come in. We actually like to get to know you. So you can use this a lot if you want. Okay? If you have appointments, they'll show up here if you have ones coming up. Okay? Other miscellaneous things, if there's information sessions, sometimes they show up in here. If we have announcements, a lot of times we'll put them on the front page. So there's that. And then the other thing I just want to get to before our panel comes is this list here. I'm not going to go through every one, but we put links in here to resources that we think you'll find useful. And a lot of people, they almost become invisible because they don't know what to do with them, so they just ignore them. But there's a few in here I want to show you, especially for this year. Two of them especially. One is PSJD. And what this will do, if you click on that, it'll just take you to another tab. And you log in, you create a new account, you tell them you're from us. I think it's under you in here. You never know what letter we're under. Here it is, State University, it's under S. If you're from here, we've paid for you, so you're good. Let me see if that works. All right. What I like about this is, let's do a New York search. This will give you a huge percentage, maybe not all, but a huge percentage of the public interest in government organizations that hire law students and lawyers. All over the world, really, but especially in the United States. I just typed in New York. I got 1,773 results for the state. I can then limit those. Where am I limiting them? We can do Buffalo, Rochester, but we could do New York City. New York City has a huge list. So let's do New York. We can even do like a metro region New York, which then we don't have to worry about all the names of all the cities around there. And let's do, anybody have a practice area you're interested in? Yell one out.
Elders.
All right, there's only two. Let's take a look. All right, so, hey, I didn't like it. All right. Sometimes there's a little bit of a disconnect here. So let's do veterans, see what happens. All right. So here's a few that came up for veterans in New York City. Manhattan Legal Services takes you to their website, gives you a description of what they do. They have a job posting here, a bunch of job posting actually. If you went to their website, you might even find more job postings, or you could just reach out to them directly. It's a really good way just to know what exists, which is 90% of your job search is just figuring out what exists. So it's an amazing resource. We don't try to pull all that information into Simplicity because we'd have to do it by hand. It's much better for us to just send you out to it. But wherever you want to go, if you want to go out of state, if you want to go to other countries, you can actually look up other countries in here. It's a really good resource. The other one that I want to show you is, do you remember the password, Dawn? Cougar. Do you remember it?
Oh, password?
The password? It changed to Cougar something. Oh, no, you know what? We have to remember it. That's why. Check this out. Right here. You don't know the password either. Right here. See where it says Cougs16? That's the password. I'm thinking of the wrong one. It's this one, Buffalo. You're right. Sorry. Government Honors Internship Handbook, password Buffalo. Every time that changes, we'll change it in here so that you can get to it. It did let me in. So here we go. If any of you are looking at government jobs for the summer, for later, State Department, Department of Justice, Department of the Treasury, how many agencies do you think hire lawyers? All of them. That's a good answer. This many. Okay. These are not just, oh, come be an analyst, come be an agent. These are law, honors attorney programs, law student internship programs, stuff you never knew existed, like the Smithsonian Program, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, Office of Government Ethics, Postal Service. Who wants to be a lawyer for the Postal Service? That's awesome. So they're hiring constantly. They're hiring for summer. They're hiring for after grad. What you do is you go to this first index, you go to 1L applications by deadline, and you just keep watching this to make sure that you're not missing anything. The rolling ones are all at the top, and then we start getting into December 1st ones. Remember I said some of them have December 1st deadlines? These are some of them. So the Maryland Attorney General looks like it's a December 1st deadline. Colorado Attorney General, New York City Law Department. They're all opening on December 1st. Homeland Security, December 15th. So this is a really good place to just keep track. If you know you want to get into government service on the state level or the federal level, this is a really amazing resource that keeps track of all of those. If you try Googling them, you'll never get these results. So the link to that is in here. These are our jobs. These are the other stuff. So here's that one with the password, and all these other ones that need passwords, they're right here. Okay. Any questions about any of that? So, we should be having a student panel now. We're going to be, we have 5 3Ls coming in. We've chosen them from a variety of different paths. Some of them did government, some did firms. And we really want you to hear from them how it went. It's one thing for us to dictate what all the deadlines are and what we should be doing. But it's really cool to hear. These students have had 2 years worth of stories. So they can tell you what it was like to be a first year, and they can tell you what happened the next year and where they are now. And so they'll be here in a minute. Does anybody have any other questions right now that are keeping you up at night about jobs? You guys ready for this, or do you think it's way too early? It's all right. Yeah, whatever. How many people would rather work on their resume than study? Hey, all right. How many people wish they could just get rid of the resume and never have to deal with it? Just go to class. Is anybody here?
We're just waiting for Joe.
Okay.
You guys might as well come
back.
I didn't know you were finished.
Yay, student panel. So while you're, do you want to do the while you're listening, do this?
Sure.
No. So, we just have one student that's still arriving. So before we go to the student panel, I hope it doesn't seem like a drag. I hope you're not too bored because we finished bingo early. But the truth is, this stuff is really important for you guys. And there is no excuse for not having a legal job next summer. It is absolutely something you need to do. And so all of your classmates who didn't come today, there's going to be 10 or 20 of them who are just going to work a job they've already had next summer, and they're not going to start to develop their professional identity, which is really, really important. So it's really good you're here. Keep coming. We'll do resumes. We'll do cover letters. You guys are going to be so far ahead of the game. Secondly, I just want to underscore what Dean Patterson said. The most important thing for getting a job, if you want to go to a large firm or you want to clerk after graduation, is going to be grades. So we do want you to start prepping this stuff, but not to the exclusion of doing well in all your classes. Okay? Do you guys have any questions?
distractions from everything Dean Patterson talked about, you'll forget 75% of it, and that's why you come in and make a one-on-one appointment with us, which is mandatory for all 1Ls before January. So you should come in, make a one-on-one appointment, and we'll start talking about how we get you where you want to be 3 years from now. Okay? So we developed a student panel that we put on for the first years every single year so that you can hear it from the horses' mouths, exactly how they got their summer jobs, what summer jobs they've had, what they found useful, what wasn't useful, websites, career services, other resources, networking, anything they can tell you. And also just to give you a chance to start, you know, hearing from the other students that you're not getting to mix with in your classes because all your classes are just first years. So we have a lovely panel of 3Ls. Each of them have had 2 legal jobs for the past 2 summers. They can tell you how they got both of them. They can tell you what they're planning on doing after graduation. Some of them are selling, some of them are not. That's all totally normal, and this will give you a good sense of where you're going to be. You know, in a very short 18 months, 6 of you are going to be this panel. And feel free to ask questions. So I'm going to let them each introduce themselves, tell you what they did the past 2 summers, maybe just quickly how they got it, and then we're going to open it up for questions. As they're talking, try to think of things like, really? I was just going to read the slide and it went away.
It went away?
Yeah. How did they get their job? Where did they work? What did that lead to them doing second summer? How did they get that job? And you'll hear from some of them that it's totally okay to do something different your first summer than your second summer, and that will help you decide what kind of a legal career you want to have, which is why, again, it's really important for you to get a legal job next summer, even if it's unpaid, even if you only do it 2 days a week because it's unpaid and you do something else to make money, that's fine too, but you've got to start creating that professional identity on your resume. Okay, so first we have Maria Apuzesi. Maria, give us your story.
All right, so 1L year, I was really interested in working for the federal government, so I used the Arizona handbook to find every government agency I could apply to, and then I didn't think that was exhaustive enough, so I searched on Google for the rest of the government agencies, and I ended up taking a position for the United States Marshal Service in Arlington, Virginia for my 1L summer, and that was financed through the Buffalo Public Interest Law Program. Without getting funding through them, I wouldn't have been able to live in D.C. and work at an unpaid government internship. So I think it's important that you explore areas of funding for that. And this past summer, my 2L summer, I worked at the Erie County District Attorney's Office, and I knew I wanted to work at a district attorney's office my 2L summer, so I looked to see when Erie County was releasing their application packet and when Niagara County was releasing their application packet, and I had everything ready for whenever that day was. I think it was in February, and submitted everything, and I also got another named fellowship that I applied to.
I just think you're moving.
Because there's Buffalo Public Interest Law Program funding, and then there's also named scholarships that you can be eligible for. What I mean for my 1L summer is that I didn't want to do any civil work whatsoever. I did sports, asset forfeiture, and I did a little bit of search and seizure, and that internship just cemented for me what I want to do going forward, and so I interned at a district attorney's office this summer, and I want to work at a district attorney's office for the beginning part of my career.
So, just to underscore one of the things Maria said, she got her funding through BPILP, which we've mentioned a couple times today, and you may still be confused about what that means, but we're going to talk about that more next week. So next week is pro bono week. You'll get to talk to the different public interest organizations in the area that come about possibly working for them during the school year, during the summers. Most of those opportunities are unpaid, so on the panel next week, we're going to talk about how you get funding for them. Okay. Maria's not yet settled for after graduation because DAs haven't made hiring decisions yet. So you'll see how that's a totally different timeline once you decide that's the path you want to go down. So next we have Larry Waters.
Yes, hello everyone. Hello, some of you know, others I don't. My first year I worked at Neighborhood Legal Service and the Disability Pursuit Project. Basically, we're helping individuals, adults, and children get Social Security benefits. And either we help with people who have that are lower needs, and also children who may have some type of mental disability as well. So that was a very rewarding experience just to be able to help others. I was able to get that job through, I don't remember the name of the exact event, but it was the career service that usually hosts like
career fair.
Yes, yeah, the career fair. And basically, just different people from different organizations are there. One of the people happened to be from Neighborhood Legal Service, so they just accepted resumes, and I was able to get a call back to do an interview, and I was able to get the job through that. My second summer, my past summer, I worked at a law firm here in Buffalo, where it's a fund. I was able to get that just through the application process of going to different websites and able to apply the job there. I was happy to get it. And there, it was a rewarding experience because I was able to work on my writing skills a lot more. My first year at the nonprofit was more about learning how to do financing. And my second year, I got to work on writing, which was always important. And then my work aspect of music for me.
The career fair is in February. If you remember that from the timeline, you'll see lots of advertisements about that. It's right after the spring semester starts. So, you know, as Larry said, make sure you go to that. It's a good opportunity to get something for your first summer, or at least to make connections to places you might apply to. Also at the career fair, there's usually a lot of big firms. And while they might not hire you that first summer, they might remember you when you apply your second summer, which we've talked a little bit about. So next we have Maggie Duggan, who is not only a JD but also an MBA student, right?
So is anyone interested in a dual degree? Okay. So my journey's been a little different. My 1L summer, this is actually a four-year program, so my 1L summer, I actually did not have a job. I took the summer off to take classes that were required second year because I really wanted to do the New York City Finance and Law program. So I did that my spring semester. And while I was there, I got that current summer job, the 2L summer job at Lipsitz in Ontario. I got that through a professor here who saw my writing and knew a partner at that firm who then offered me a job. This past summer, I was in Erie County Medical Center Office of General Counsel, which is where I hope to end up after graduation. So it's just a different field, different than a firm job. You're working in a corporation that needs answers fast. It's not so much legal research and writing. It's finding the answer and implementing it and giving it to whoever needs it. It could be a doctor. It could be a nurse. It could be an administration. It could be outside vendors. I'm working on contracts. I'm working on HIPAA laws. I'm working on anything that needs requiring that day of work. So it's different than
And how did you get the job at ECMC?
That was through a mutual contact. A friend of a friend knew someone who was looking for a law clerk at ECMC's new program, and I applied through
Then we have Courtney Morfitt, who's going to talk a little bit about leaving the area.
Yes, so I've left the area my past two summers now. My 1L summer, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I kind of figured that it was going to be unpaid. So I was interested in maybe doing something in government or maybe working for a nonprofit, something like that. So I was basically stalking Simplicity on a daily basis to see what was new and what was posted. And I ended up getting a position at the U.S. Court of Appeals Third Circuit, so that's in Newark, New Jersey. And I spent 7 weeks there. It actually is a part-time internship, so you can work if you wanted to. I didn't, but we worked Monday through Thursday. It was only 7 weeks. And then after that, I made some contacts while I was there and decided that I wanted to go big law in New York City. Just kind of fell in love with the area, knew I wanted to be there. Did the OCI process and did a little bit ended up getting the job at Free Frank last summer, so that's in New York City, and then I'll be going back there once I graduate.
Okay, and then last but not least, we have Joe Lavoie, who's also going outside the area.
I'm Joe, I'm a 3L, as you said, I suppose. So the first summer I worked at Leesling in Rochester. I guess the most important thing for me is location. I live in Rochester now, I commute to the city of Buffalo. And so I want to look for places in Rochester that one summer. I knew I wanted to do nonprofit because I wanted to try that out to see if I could do nonprofit work legally. Before law school, I did some nonprofit work in Rochester, and so I had some connections with Legal Aid, so it was kind of easy transition that one summer to work with them in that capacity. Working with Legal Aid was great. Depending on your background, you might be able to get a practice order with them, because I was able to do. So I had an attorney supervising me, but I was able to have clients and go into court and talk to the judge and represent a client, which was terrifying and wonderful. It also made me realize that wasn't the work I wanted to do. I'm really grateful I did it, so I know it's something I didn't want to do. And so that when I started on 2L year, I was really, really looking for kind of work in the private sector. And so the second summer, I worked at a firm in New Hampshire. I'll be moving there after law school. My wife and I made that decision during my 2L year. So my goal for 2L summer was to try to get in touch with someone from New Hampshire who would hire me. I don't have any connections out there anymore, so I used to live there. I've been there for about 5 or 6 years. So it was really a lot of cold emails, some cold calls, a lot of hearing back from a lot of not hearing back from people. And it comes down to kind of a numbers game. But I got a place, and it was a phenomenal firm. Before the end of the summer, I got a job offer, so I will be returning there after law school. The firm does civil defense work, and I do some business court work as well. People mention detailed budget app, but I do legal aid. Absolutely phenomenal. I did OCIs. I did the cold emails. I called up everyone I knew. And you only need one. Keep that in mind.
Okay, so any burning questions? Yep.
I remember I applied over 20 places, and I told my professor that, and I was talking about it almost as if you believe I applied to 20 places, and they said that's it, So certainly people applied to a lot. Again, it depends on where you want to go. One thing I did not mention was New Hampshire's not a hot spot for kind of people moving right now or ever, perhaps. So one thing to recognize is the area where you're applying. The biggest task for clients sometimes outside of our cities is convincing them that you want to stay there. And so that's also an issue, but I just want to throw that out there for it.
I was going to say, don't apply to as many jobs as you can. Don't like sell yourself short. You might see a job posting, you might see like top 5%, top 10%. It might be one of the requirements. If you don't meet that marker, don't let that discourage you. The worst thing you can do is not apply. Because at least once you apply, you give yourself a chance. And that's all you really need. Joe says, numbers. You never know what they might be looking for. You might see something on your resume that really piques your interest of that job. You might say, oh, well, she might have a different background. She might provide a different viewpoint. This goes for anybody out there. Don't sell yourself short on applying jobs. Apply as many as you want, as many as you can, and just let it go from there.
Yeah, I need to jump off on that. A lot of it is making contacts before you 2L summer, my 1L summer looking for my 2L summer job at Pretty Frank, I probably sent out like 100 emails with resumes attached to it. I maybe only applied into like 50 places or so, but before that, I was trying to make contacts at every single firm that I applied to. A lot of that is going to CSO, talking to Mark and Lisa, all the Lisas.
All the Lisas.
And
every Lisa you get.
Who they think they know at the firm who knows all about being a student. So I did that, and I would just email them and say, hey, I'm a UB student. I'm really interested in coming to New York City. Here's my resume. I'd love to pick your brain a little bit. And then you kind of hope that they send your resume down the pipe, and that's how I ended up getting my job. You just gotta make contacts and talk to people.
It's not uncommon to send 100 resumes and get 5 interviews. So one of the best messages that they can all tell you is don't give up. You know, I think that's the hardest thing is you think I'm not getting any interviews. I'll just stop and do something else. That's not going to help you in the long run. So you really just got to keep at it. And it does only take one. Go ahead.
I'm curious about like, what's the learning curve like when you walk on the first day of your 1L summer? I mean, I can't imagine how you have to like work, you know what I mean? Like, how much did you, how well prepared were you, how much did you have to learn right away?
I know I was assigned my own cases, and I had an attorney mentor, but for the most part, I was doing the research. I was looking up the law for different states, and it was a lot. Like I said, I worked a lot on tort claims, but I knew nothing other than the 1L tort class. So the learning curve is huge. My writing improved, my research skills. I didn't realize how poor they were 1L year until 1L summer. You really learn a lot, and it's really important to put hard work into your summer because you get a lot out of it.
Yeah, definitely. I think that was probably the most difficult part about my 1L summer was coming in and being like, oh, look, like I'm smart, I got good grades, I know this. No, I knew nothing. And just being okay with that and knowing that you do know something. You know how to research. You got through your 1L summer. You know how to use your resources. That's the biggest thing. And then not being afraid to ask questions. Whoever you're working with is not expecting you to know all of the ins and outs of every single thing that you're going to work on in the summer. They know you're going to have questions, and it's just asking educated questions and not being afraid to do that.
And in the spring, we'll do the Survive and Thrive program again, which addresses a lot of that. What do you guys think was the hardest thing about finding a job either summer?
I definitely think putting a job out there and networking is hard. I know, I'm sure everyone's like, network. But in a place like Buffalo where everyone knows each other and you might be talking to someone who's not hiring, but someone in their mind comes up and, oh, this person would be great for this person that I know who's hiring, or this firm is right up your alley when you give you this contact. That's how I got all of my jobs so far in life, not even just in law school, but in everything. So I definitely think, I'm sure, I'm going to keep being confident to you guys that networking is so, so, so important. And your first impression makes a lasting impression on people. I still have contacts and mentors that I met 3 years ago when I started law school, and I asked them for questions, or, hey, do you know someone who might be able to help me with this project, or do you know someone who's really good at labor and employment law that I can talk to, and I have this question about it, I'm interested in getting into that field, maybe I can meet with that person. So really growing your network is so important.
So how do each of you grow your networks? Because a couple of you have mentioned that, and there's different networking styles.
I started with going to law school events, so career fair is fantastic for that. Network in the Nation was great. We had another one, it was almost like speed networking.
Yeah, like the Women's Bar Association? Was it that one?
I think so.
Yeah.
So that was great. And then following up with those contacts led me to more contacts. So I did a mock interview with someone in the MBA school who said, oh, I know JD who's at National Fuel. You should hook up with that person and pick their brain. So then I had that contact. And now I'm at National Fuel for an academic year because of that contact.
to even see, you know, like what UV alumni do we have at in New York City or whatever area you're looking at, or like who do I know that's in big law, or who do I know that's doing corporate litigation, things like that. I use LinkedIn. Also, pretty much any contact that I make, I try to make sure that I add them on LinkedIn. It's just an easy way to keep track of who you're meeting. Go to everything. Go to anything the CSO offers. Talk to people there. And people are coming to talk to you about jobs or to talk to you about your profession and what you want to do. So definitely go to all of those. And just don't be afraid to reach out to people. If you think that you don't know someone in an area, CSO most likely has a contact there. And don't be afraid to reach out and ask people to just to pick their brain. Can I get you coffee? Can we go to lunch? I just want to talk to you about what you do. People are really willing to help.
That's it. Find a mentor if you can while in school. I was able to hook up early on with someone in Rochester. It was informal mentorship. I met her at a law school event in Rochester, and I meet with her probably every month, not every other month. And then the events that UV hosts, go to the competitions like the moot courts, the mediation stuff. We bring in a lot of different attorneys from the area to be judges or to kind of evaluate into those competitions. And that's a fantastic opportunity. You know, those, you probably almost guarantee you won't walk out of those rooms with a job with that competitions, but they're fantastic beginnings of relationships, beginnings of mentorships, and those are the things that kind of pay off over the long run.
There have been people who have been hired by judges in those competitions. That does happen where judges have hired people in competitions.
There you go.
I'm gonna say it. I know Dean Patterson, this is not her favorite book, but it's my favorite book because we're different styles of networkers. But there's a book called Never Eat Alone that you might have heard of before, which, the one gem I really like in the beginning of it is that, you know, nobody likes to network because they think of it as kind of like sleazy and underhanded. But if you think of it as like developing friendships, it's a much better way to think of it. And on the moot court competition side, you know, you're also going to be exposing yourself to the 2Ls and 3Ls in those competitions. So you can get to know them. I mean, Maria is going to be working at a DA's office next year. And in 2 years, that might be the job you're applying for. And who better to call than someone who's only 2 years out that you can say, how do I ace this interview? You know, so it is good to start to get to know your colleagues as well. So that was the hardest thing, networking. Anything else really challenging?
The sense of immediacy. I mean, certainly you'll start hearing that people found jobs, and particularly UL fall, I don't know if anyone else felt this, it felt like you had to find a job right now. And every single rejection or silence you got felt almost personal, which is totally false, but it's definitely hard to get through. So I guess patience, kind of create patience and realize that you don't need a job right now. It's going to work out. Just keep at it.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with that. You will get so many rejections, and I actually keep all of them because I just like to look at it and be like, oh, this firm that I knew I had no shot at rejected me. Who would have thought? It's just, you gotta find a way to enjoy it, or like find a little humor in the rejection. It's super stressful, and just try. You have to find a way to be like, interviewing is fun, or talking to all of these people is fun. You're making connections. You're making friendships. You've got to try to find a way to just laugh at how stressful it is, and also plan ahead. Make sure your resumes and cover letters are done well before you're starting to apply for things. Make sure that they are perfect. Make sure CSO has looked at them. Make sure any professors or mentors that you have look at them so that you know when you're going into it, you're confident. This is the best you that you can put forward. That'll just help you not stress as much, but try to find a little humor in it.
There will be a mentoring program that the Law Alumni Association does where you get matched with people, so watch for that to come out too. Because if you're sitting there saying, great, I need to find a mentor, but no one in my family is a lawyer. I don't know anyone who's a lawyer. I don't know how to get a mentor. The Alumni Association will help you by giving you a mentor, which, you know, is the position I was in. And it was knowing people like that that helped me. What about the most useful resource?
Well, I would say I was assigned by the UB Law Alumni a mentor in the Erie County District Attorney's Office, and we've met countless times to talk about what I should do during the summer, or should I be trial team, moot court, what classes I should take, even though they might not be able to tell you that. But you can go to them with almost anything, and it's good to make those connections and then continue to contact them. Like, I still send cards out to the people I meet, so they just remember me, and I think keeping up with that and definitely applying for that mentor program was one of the best things I did.
I'll second that. The alumni that I'm in, she's still a huge part of my life right now. She just would call her up or even email her or text her and saying just different questions or even meeting her for months. She's just trying to get career advice. So I say definitely sign up for that. I think this visit you heard today, the biggest useful thing is to use CSO, but also to use a mentor or someone you can build a relationship with, that someone's out there in the field and they'll invite you to different things and they'll get your name out there. You might be somebody that's interested in making an appointment. They'll say, oh, I know someone who wants to work at a firm or want to work at a nonprofit doing this type of work. And then you go, you already have an initial connection, you already have someone that's better for you that's respectful.
I would take a step even before the mentor, and I would say CSO is my useful, my most useful asset. There were times where it would be like 5 o'clock on Friday, I needed someone to look at my resume, and I remember walking into your office and saying, please, 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 can you look at this really quick? I need to send her an email. And she did, and she stayed, and she walked me through it, made edits, and it was perfect. And CSO is the one that sets up these networking events that I made these connections with people and have mentors from. So they're a huge asset at the school. I think so a lot.
I have to echo CSO. I don't know how many times I was in Mark's office when I was looking for jobs, and I don't know how many emails I sent him. I do remember that one time I sent in a resume on Simplicity, and it was like right in the thick of applying for everything, and I was just blasting out emails constantly with resumes. I applied for something on Simplicity, and I think it was Dean Patterson emailed me back and was like, you have the wrong firm name in that cover letter. And I was like, oh my God, if that had gone to the firm, that would have been terrible. So definitely go see CSO. It would be so helpful. But also websites that you can use. I use Melt a ton, M-A-L-T. Is it Melt.org?
Yeah, directory.
Yeah, Melt. Yeah, they have all the firms, the different firms. They have all of the big firms on there. You can see how many people they hire, what type of work they do, it breaks down the firm, you can see salaries, you can see like energy work harder. So I would definitely utilize that too. There are other websites. Above the Law sometimes does some good articles. Some of them are not great, but sometimes they do good articles.
Joe?
Everyone said it's great. Again, the cover letter thing, definitely go to CSO. If someone who has put the wrong firm name on the cover letter and actually sent it in without going to CSO, you want to do that. You don't want to cut off behind the scene. The other things I would add, though, are professors and adjunct professors. Look at people's backgrounds, see where they practice. If someone's willing to write you a recommendation, chances are they're willing to talk to someone for you, or maybe make an online introduction. The professors here are fantastic resources. When I was talking to some professors informally after class about looking at New England, several of them said, like, oh, I know about people in Maine. And so I found myself interviewing in Maine a lot last summer because of that connection. So, use them as well. And adjunct professors, when you're able to choose classes, professors who are practitioners in the area in particular are great resources. So it's in your best interest to take at least a couple classes with
associations at all? So sometimes that can be a good resource too if you're still kind of trying to feel your way around, you're not developing a network, you're not finding a mentor, you were matched with someone through the Alumni Association, it didn't gel, but you're really interested in elder law, you know, and you join the New York State Bar, I think it's free for students still. And you can join the elder law section and start to meet some people that practice in that area, and you can actually create your own mentoring relationship. Or maybe you just go and listen to some of their events just to find out more about what you actually do in that area, and you start to learn the firms who are really popular in the area, who know what they're doing in that area, and you know where you want to apply to. And you never have to talk to anyone, but you're there. Can you guys talk about anything you did during the school year that you feel helped towards your summer jobs? Extracurriculars, or did you do externships? Did you do clinics? Did you just stay in the library and study?
I know you said earlier grades are super important. They really are. And it's kind of, it's a little intimidating how much your first semester matters. You get your 1L summer job based on your first semester of 1L here, which was a ton of pressure to hear, but you're studying, you go to the library, you know, I did that a ton, live in one of the carrels, they're fantastic. I do try a team, and I do a clinic, and I do law review, and extracurriculars definitely help. I know you can't do all of those, but you can get involved in some of the SBA organizations, so if you're interested in a particular club, you can do that, and it's at least one thing that will set you apart from the rest of your class. So I joined a club as soon as I came to school. And I think that helped. It just gave me something else to talk about, different than the thousands of one else that are applying for jobs.
Every person I've talked to in the DA's office has told me you need to do try a team. And as I'm starting to go through the interview process for jobs now, that comes up in almost every interview. So I encourage you to look out for information about try a team and try out. Even if you know nothing about it, you can feel free to contact any of us who are on it to help you out. But if you want to be a prosecutor, that's definitely something you should look into.
Writing. The third day at my firm job over the summer, I was talking to my partner asking kind of advice. How he succeeded as a summer there. And he said, put your head down and just work really hard and write really well. And your lawyer classes, you know, they can't emphasize enough how important it is to be a writer. So take every opportunity you can, whether it be the class, whether it be competition, and just practice writing. And I also say work ethic is so important. My grades are good. They're not absolutely fantastic. And so if you don't do well, you're 1L your first semester, don't worry about it. The reality is nonprofits need a lot of work, and one of my good friends just leveraged a full-time position to Phillips Lytle, a very large firm, because he did so well with his nonprofit job. A lot of the partners at firms in Western New York started off in some of these nonprofit jobs. It's amazing who they're talking to, and they'll have connections because they used to be on the board of a nonprofit or one of these legal services. So work really hard, and then move court forward. This is something that they don't tell you they can't emphasize enough. At UB, getting on the moot court board is not very difficult. Everywhere else in the country, it's as prestigious as the law review. It is as prestigious as the law review. So if you are applying outside of Buffalo, there's no reason why you shouldn't try to get on the moot court board. In many schools, you can't do both, because moot court board is as difficult, time-consuming as the law review. So just keep that in the back of your mind now.
So, other questions?
Can I just I'll tell you a little bit about the mentor program if you're wondering. There is the official mentor program that we partner with the Alumni Association.
So there's nothing you have to go find right now. We will be presenting you about that, and we'll have you fill out a survey that says what your profile is and what you're looking for, and then we'll be recruiting mentors from the alumni. I'm on that committee where we match you, and it's very intuitively done. It sounds like we had some good matches in your group. The alumni person knows their alumni really well, and those of us from the law school and the committee know you guys really well, and so between the two, we make some really good matches. So it is voluntary. You do not have to sign up for it, but I just think you'd be foolish not to take advantage of it, because you're going to get a really great contact out of it who's there just to talk to you, and you don't have to feel embarrassed or like you're bothering them. Like, they sign up. So I really want to put a big plug into that program, and it's an enormous career booster. It really, like, there are people who just sailed into interviews this fall because they got a mentor first year at some of the places that they wanted to be. So watch for that. It should be patently obvious that it's happening because it'll be announced in your classes in the spring.
Also, I wanted to give you the disclaimer that we did not prep these lovely 5-3-Ls. Like, we know them, as you can tell, because they come into our office all the time, and we knew what they were doing and what they're planning on, so that's how we picked them, because we thought, you know, they'll be willing to come and talk to the 1-Ls because they know us, but we did not tell them what to say. We did not pay them to say, you know, go to CSO. It is the way that it happens. There's a couple other, well, there's lots of other things that we have for you as resources, but just also to quickly mention, like, we have a career closet, so if you need suits for interviewing when you're getting started out and you're like, I don't know if I'm even going to get a job that I have to have 5 suits for next summer, we can try to help you out there. We talked about mock interviewing, resume review, cover letter review. We also have a bunch of books in our office if you just want to read about what's a non-traditional legal career, what kind of legal careers are there that don't involve me standing in front of a jury and trying to convict someone of murder. We have a lot of that kind of stuff in our office. So stop by. And we have a Keurig, and we'll give you free coffee. And most of the time we have candy. More questions? Yep?
How do you formulate what area of practice you want to go into?
I think you never know what you want all summer. This is just kind of your, let's see what I'm going to get, and if I love it, I love it. And if not, it's still fantastic learning opportunities. Like, for me, some of my area was toxic torts, so that's asbestos law, like pee poisoning. And my first day, I went to a trial and watched a widow testify, and I was sobbing. The judge was sobbing, jury was sobbing, and I was like, I can't do this. I can never do this. But with my business background and then with the MBA, I knew corporate counsel was pretty much where I want to go, and that's what I now aim my focus in and try to find a job. But every experience is a great experience, even if you really don't like it. At least you now know, okay, this is not something I want.
Up in the back.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, if you're fortunate enough to get multiple offers, but can you usually just jump at the first one that you get, or is there a period where you can kind of weigh your options?
Yeah, you can definitely weigh options. I think it depends. So my one summer, I really kind of wanted to do animal law. I just thought that was going to be great, and I got an offer from a nonprofit out in California that does animal law. They do, like, the undercover investigations and, like, that requirement stuff. I was like, great, I want that. But I knew I had an application in the third circuit also. I knew how prestigious that was. So when I had told this one when I got the offer that I wanted to wait a little bit, then I got the offer in the third circuit. And I remember coming to talk to CSO about it and ultimately deciding I couldn't turn down the third circuit. But there's absolutely nothing wrong with taking some time, doing some thinking, and deciding which one's going to be better. Don't be afraid to make that decision with other people, though. I think sometimes it's really hard to make decisions like that on your own. You kind of need to talk, even if you're just talking it through with someone else. Don't be afraid to do that.
Last summer, I had 3 offers that came through on the same day.
I remember. I remember you running in.
And I'm like, I need to talk to someone right now because I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this right so that I don't close doors and burn bridges with people who have given
giving me an offer, and now I need to turn them down. How do I nicely do this? How do I pick which one will be best for me in my career? That's something you definitely need to go to see a civil for. Most people are pretty good about it. I think I asked one offer for more time, and they said no, like Friday's the deadline, you need to let us know. And that kind of helped make my decision, okay, I need more time than Friday, maybe this isn't the place for me. So it all really depends on what you want to do and definitely what advice CXO will give you.
One of the other things you can do too is I received an offer for one place, but I was waiting on another place that I really wanted to go to, the Marshalls. And I used the offer from the other agency as leverage, like, hey, I just got an offer here. Can you speed up my application or something? And then they gave me an offer. So you can use what you have to try and get what you want.
A comment generally on timing, it sounds sort of what we're talking about, you know, apply for 100 firms and then, you know, do all this stuff. It's not going to all happen at once. So if you're applying to a whole bunch of places, it might span between December and March that this is all happening. So, you know, sometimes it's a season because you're looking for all the same kinds of employers, and sometimes 1L is kind of like willy-nilly. Like, I'm interested in the U.S. attorney, and that's due in December, but I might also want to work for legal aid, but they aren't looking for people so large. What do I do? Do I take the bird in hand? Do I wait? So we can sort of help you work through a little bit of that flow chart, but some of it is just, you know, do something and hope for the best. Like, that's kind of what happened to some people. I've had people let go of an offer that was a really great offer and gamble on the fact that they were going to be successful later at something they wanted more. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and you just have to learn to live with that choice. But it can be something that spans a really long time frame. And a lot of it is the finesse. Like, can you get the one to hold off and the other one to speed up? Or, you know, what are you going to... The other thing that we can help with, too, is sometimes you have more than one shot at certain employers, so you might turn one down, but know that you can do an externship with them later. So there's a lot of factors in it that we can help you pull together when you're making those decisions as well.
Also, if you don't have something as of the end of April, you need to take a break, focus on finals, and then come in afterwards. Like, it's okay. It's not okay. I'll give you a demerit, but you can still get a summer job. And so I don't want you to get to finals and say, I don't yet have a job for the summer. I'll work at Wegmans. Like, there are definitely people still looking. A lot of the nonprofits may still take volunteers. You do have people balancing offers, so someone may not know that the person was taking a different offer and they may suddenly have a spot open. So it's really important to just keep at it. And I had a lot of 1Ls last year walk into my office, you know, a week after finals and say, please help. And we will. There will still be a few things open. Don't put it off because I've said that. But don't not talk to us because you're afraid that everything's gone.
Some employers procrastinate too.
Yeah.
So sometimes you get postings today.
Are there other questions? Helpful? Okay.
Any parting words?
Feel free to come talk to us if you have a question. I mean, we're all here because we want help. Like I said, they just have us to put us in. So feel free to come talk to us if you have another question.
You're going to survive.
This is where we have a lot of.
Yeah, you do. As much as you know nothing, they're still hiring you because, you know, they need bodies. They need labor. It's true, you know. And I was in practice for 14 years. You know, I loved having law clerks that could, like, spend 20 hours researching something that I knew there was only probably going to be one case, and it was probably going to be in the Virgin Islands, and it was going to be really hard to find. And I didn't have 20 hours because I had to prepare for 3 depositions. And that's where you're useful. And you do have a lot to offer. And all attorney organizations hire brand new law students because it's a profession that teaches you as you come along, and they want to teach you because then you're going to do it the way they want it done. So, you know, you learn how to think in law school, and you learn some practical skills, but then they really bring you the rest of the way up the curve, and they want to do that for you.
And these guys are all super impressive and smart and know what they're doing. They were sitting in your seats not too long ago, looking at the panel going, I'm never going to be able to be like that. You remember that, don't you? Like, oh my gosh, I'll never talk like those people. They're so sophisticated. And there they are. I mean, you know, these guys are really impressive. So it'll happen to you too. I remember the students all saying that word, that word, that word. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. And now I'm also saying that word, that word, that word.
Okay. So we'll see you guys next week. Don't forget to go to the tables and talk to people at Pro Bono Days. And then we'll talk a little bit more about that here.